One of my favorite services here at the cathedral takes place on a Wednesday. At 10 minutes after 12, we gather in Cummings Chapel for what is called a healing service. There are usually somewhere between 12 to 20 people there. It's a small congregation. After the readings, and I give a little homily, because there are so few of us, we are able to go around the room, and each person is able to say aloud what they need prayers for. Often they will pray for themselves, but there are relatives and loved ones who have cancer, who are struggling with addictions, who have broken relationships. And every single person usually has numerous people on their hearts that they are lifting up to God in prayer. And I find myself, as each person says what their prayers are, realizing that I can't keep it all straight. And there are only 12 of us in there. After everyone has shared, then I will say, "Let us all speak aloud those for whom we pray." And everyone talks at the same time. And I think to myself, how do you do it, God? How do you hear all of this at the same time? How do you remember it? I can't even remember which one of my boys hates Brussels sprouts and which one hates broccoli. And this is just a little service. What about Sunday morning? What about all of your prayers? Everything that you're thinking? And what about not just this church, but the Episcopal churches in Jacksonville? Heck, what about the Episcopal churches in the United States? What about all over the world? The Anglican Communion? What about Christianity? What about other faiths? How in the world does God hear all of this? And then my mind really gets boggled when I start thinking about the universe. You know, Einstein, when he came up with his theory of relativity, he said it was the happiest thought he ever had. To me, it's the most mind-boggling, juggling, crazy, wow thought that he ever had. In fact, I still don't think I get it. But what if time and space are linked? And what if there is life in other parts of the universe? And if there is life, what if they too are trying to talk to their maker? How in the world can God hear all of this? And even if God can hear it all and take it all into consideration, how could God care? It says in the scripture that God has counted every hair on your head. That in and of itself is mind-boggling. How could God keep track of us? And how could God care for each one of us? I want you to turn to the cover of your bulletin. On the cover of your bulletin is one of what we believe is the earliest sketches of Jesus. Maybe the second century, maybe even earlier. This sketch is found in the catacombs, the caves beneath Rome, where the Christians would hide from persecution. If you look closely, this is not an image of Jesus hanging on a cross. In fact, the early Christians did not conceive of that image for many centuries. The first image we have of Jesus is of a shepherd. You see how he has the sheep over his shoulder? This is a really big sheep, by the way, isn't it? Looks more like a cow. I feel sorry for the shepherd. He's getting weighed down. But then again, there are a lot of sheep in the universe, right? When God sent Jesus to us, God sent the incarnation to talk in our language so that we could get glimpses of God. And Jesus spoke in the language of the Sea of Galilee, the people of the Sea of Galilee. If you walk around those gentle hills, you run into a shepherd all the time. This was an image that they would have known well and understood. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Many people over the years have told me that they're insulted about being compared to a sheep. Have you had any interaction with sheep? They're pretty dumb. In fact, they're so dumb, they can wander off a cliff if they're not aware. They tend to walk right into danger. But when it comes to the maker of the universe, do you really think that we're considered smart? When I was in third grade, my family used to go to this camp in upstate Connecticut for a family reunion. And when I was in third grade, my cat had 4 kittens. They were the cutest, most wonderful kittens in the world. And we decided to have a kitten race. Have you ever been to a kitten race before? It makes you laugh until you can't laugh anymore. My kitten's name was Hershey because he was brown like chocolate. We got our 4 kittens lined up, and they had to walk across the lawn and get to the finish line. Well, Hershey decided to go backwards and crawl under the porch. Another kitten just lay down and started eating some grass, and they were all over the place. It's kind of like when you put your 2-year-old on a soccer team. Have you ever been to one of those soccer games? There's so much a riot. One of them's doing ballet in the middle of the soccer field. Another picks up a dandelion. My friend's little boy used to run up and down the field just crying and saying, "It's my turn, give me the ball." When God looks over us, we seem like we're going all over the place. We have free will. We can do what we want. And don't you think that God sometimes says, "Oh, please don't do that"? And God cares about where we go. And God wants to keep us out of danger. But sometimes we go there anyway. You know, one thing that's incredible about the sheep is, although they are pretty dumb, they do know the sound of the shepherd's voice. And Jesus says that specifically. "My sheep hear my voice." You know what that means? It means that although you and I are quite limited when it comes to God and understanding God, we do know how to recognize God's voice. And I'm not necessarily talking about some booming thing coming down from heaven. You have the ability, the innate ability, to know what God wants of you. If you listen, if you pray, you can discern what is God's will. And I'm not saying that God only has one plan in mind for you. No, not necessarily. There is a lot of freedom within God's will. But I bet you know what is the most loving thing to do. I bet you can tell whether your motivations are pure or not. If we listen, We do know the voice of the shepherd. And God will call you, whether it's through a feeling or a nudge or through other people, I don't know, but I think you'll be able to recognize it. I know you will be able to recognize it, O sheep. Yesterday morning, I got up early and I had this feeling that I needed to go see Louise Hardman. Many of you know Louise. She was a deacon here at the cathedral for many years and a lay leader for many years before that. She founded the Center for Prayer and Spirituality. Louise used to love to read the gospel. Even as she suffered from scoliosis, she would try to carry it with a crooked back. And when it got too hard to walk down those stairs, she kept serving at the 8 o'clock service in Cummings because the floor is flat and she could still carry the gospel in there. I went over to see her and I knelt down in front of her chair. The morning is the best time for Louise. She has stage 4 colon cancer, which has spread everywhere. I looked up at her eyes, and she looked at me with a big smile and told me a joke. I asked her, "Louise, how are you doing?" "Well," she said, "my body's falling apart, but my spirit is great." You see, I know where I'm going. God is calling me home. Louise knows the sound of the voice of the Good Shepherd. She knows that he's calling her home. You know, often when someone is dying, we'll go by the bedside, and I find that the one thing that people love that tends to make them feel so peaceful are the words of Psalm 23 that the choir sang this morning. You can say it with me. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I don't know how God does it. I can't even begin to fathom. But I know that we are the sheep, and although we cannot understand our shepherd, we know his voice. Amen.